I was just thinking about my father, who passed away about 3 years ago. And when I was a boy, I didn't really have much contact with him at all for the first 10 years. And then the next 17 years, virtually no contact at all whatsoever. Maybe once a year or something like that, he'd have dinner with a whole bunch of other people. So I never knew my father. I mean, really. I actually learned more about my father during the speeches people gave at his funeral than I did during my entire life. And my brother and my sisters, they knew him a lot longer than I did. And when the anniversary of his death comes around, or the anniversary of his birthday, they're all like, oh, I've got such fond memories, and I remember this, and I remember what he taught me, and what a good father he was. I don't share any of those memories at all. Like, at all. My brother and my sisters knew my father. I did not. And so when we talk about him on these anniversaries, and I share all these memories, it's actually really, it puts me down in the dumps, because there's no possibility that I'll ever get to know him. Never. He's gone. He's dead. And people tell me, oh, well, why didn't you contact him, and blah, blah, blah. I was a child. Why didn't my father try to contact me? And I think this is part of the reason why I've turned out the way that I have. Because when you don't have a father, you purposely, as they say in Kill Bill 2, you purposely try to accumulate father figures. And I've got so many of them. My good friend Mikhail Pierce, who is my bandmate. He's like 50 plus. He's like one of my best friends. My friend Jono's a couple of years older than I. My good friend Jonathan Eisen from Uncensored Magazine. He's been a real good father figure to me. All of the activists and patriots and what have you that I associate within this movement, almost all of them are around about twice my age. And it's not the same, though. You know, it's almost like, despite the fact that you are appreciated by many honourable, decent older men and father figures, you still can't get over that fact that your own father himself couldn't even be bothered getting to know you. Yeah, and that's something I'm going to have to carry with me for the rest of my life, because there's no way I can reconcile that. I can forgive and forget, perhaps, maybe, I don't know. It's kind of difficult to forget something that didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? if that's all you remember is nothing happening, how exactly do you forget that? How exactly do you forget the neglect? And this is something that has indeed affected all of humanity. And part of the agenda of the New World Order is to destroy families. And just like most boys who never knew their fathers, I have a criminal conviction. In fact, I got two for cannabis. I was really violent as a child. And I was always getting myself into trouble. I got suspended from high school 17-plus times. 17 times. Being stood down, suspended, coming this close to expulsion. You know what I'm saying? I was a really, really messed up kid. And now I'm actually still a very messed up man. I don't know how long it might take for me to build a bridge and get over it. But I understand that I'm not the only one that's been affected in this way. The other question is, if my family were so familiar with him and I'm not, why is it that I don't get on with my family quite so well? I mean, they're good people, they're intelligent and what have you. It's just, how many of your relatives, I mean, think about this seriously, how many of your relatives would you still be hanging out with, or would you hang out with at all, had they not shared common blood with you? You know, seriously, think about it. I was just wondering this myself last night, and the answer is probably none of them. Really. And that's a really sad, depressing thought. My sisters, whenever I see them, they're... It's almost like I'm still the little brother, you know? Like, they don't respect me. They don't listen to me. If I say things... Even if I just basically open my mouth to say virtually anything, they get angry and after 60 seconds start yelling at me for absolutely no freaking good reason. And that's really depressing for me. Because I think that I've made good. I've made lemonade out of lemons. I've created a media platform. I've helped many people who were down in the dumps get back on their feet because I just showed them that I cared. I was just thinking about my good friend Russell Malcolm the other night, who was arrested for no reason, has his house taken off him, his business shut down by the cops because he was exposing corruption. And he was telling me how he couldn't open mail. He was so stressed and shaken by these experiences and all this legal documentation and jargon that he was being put through, that he was virtually having... He was about to die because of the stress he was suffering. And then I came along, got him to sit down in this very chair where I'm sitting now, and filmed him reading a 56-page dossier about his experiences. And I spent maybe 20 hours or so. Got to bed around 8 a.m. that a few weeks later, when I actually got around to editing it, cutting out all the little tiny pauses, little mistakes, repeats, and things of that nature, and then put them up all on YouTube for him. And instead of being stressed to the point where his body's about to give out, where his mind cannot function, the next time I saw him, he seemed, instead of depressed, he seemed angry, like as if the life he had lived was suddenly being returned to him, and his power returned, his strength. And he wasn't sad anymore. He was motivated. He had energy. He had strength. And in no small way, I'm part of the cause of his revitalization. And I like to help people in such a way, because in the way that only I can. And the other day we had Paul Heinrich on the show, who was hog-tied, naked, beaten, and left in a cell for 2 days without food or water or a bathroom. And while we were talking about his experience, he had a great time even recalling it, because it's so painful and stressful. And after the interview, again, same with Russell, he felt a hell of a lot better, more motivated, because somebody actually cared, and cared enough to record it, and cared enough to promote it, and cared enough to put it out there, cared enough to video it and edit the video well, so it's not just so freaking boring one camera angle the whole time. I think what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do for others, strangers in a lot of ways, what was missing in my life, just having somebody around who really cared and was willing to go that extra mile to ensure that you knew it. My father may have cared about me, but I would never know it. You know? I think this is a good way of living your life, for lack of better circumstances. You know what I'm saying? If you can't right your own wrongs because that time is past and gone, it doesn't mean that you can't right wrongs at all. You can be there. You can help people. You can do the right thing. You can create things that do not exist. You can use your creativity and your heart to improve the lives of those around you. That is what this show is about. I want to improve your life, ladies and gentlemen, by helping you to understand things as I understand them. And my understanding might be wrong, but at the end of the day, we do generally have a lot of fun with the guests on this show. We do laugh a decent amount, tell jokes and what have you. And that's something that is really sadly missing from a lot of our lives, isn't it? And I think that's why being a truther is really hard, because everything's so freaking serious and painful, and you feel rejected a lot of the time, particularly by those closest to you, and you start to get angry with your fellow man, you start to hate everybody, you start to avoid people, you don't want to have stupid conversations with people that don't respect your ideas. You don't. You know, you avoid it like the plague. And I hope that I provide some relief for you. Maybe a little bit of therapy of some kind, as it is also for myself. And I think that's what being a talk radio show host is about for me. I'm helping myself by helping others get their stories out, and helping you by helping you realize that not everything is dark and terrible and uber serious. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.